Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this Friday morning, January 3rd, one thing that nice that did happen at my kid's wedding over the weekend was I reconnected with my ex-wife, and we had a very nice conversation. And a lot of it, you know, involved me admitting it was all my fault, which it was, and that helped a lot. I only say that because she texted me yesterday about rumors flying around about why New Orleans, and it was a good question. And Dave Cohen, our news director, joins us now. Do we know why New Orleans, why the Sugar Bowl, why 3:15 in the morning yet?
No. You know, the videos that the FBI says that this terrorist posted moments before driving around a police car and barricades and crashing into some 45 people celebrating New Year's Day's arrival on Bourbon Street, he talked about he had initially considered killing friends and family. Mm-hmm. In Texas,
right.
And then reconsidered and realized that if he was going to send the ISIS message properly, it was better served to drive to New Orleans and commit a mass murder. But he didn't say, at least as far as we know from those videos, the FBI did not share with us any information about why he chose New Orleans. And you've been hearing in the news his brother speaking and saying that as far as the family knew, that everything was fine. He was the same nice, friendly, warm guy he'd always been his entire life that we've heard from his classmates, his fellow Army veterans, and others that he had apparently been hiding even from his family, mm-hmm. his radicalization. And in his words, he said he joined ISIS in those videos.
Tim Zimmer, you can pop in here if you like. I don't know. Did they have a college playoff game or a bowl game in Texas this year?
Yeah,
in Houston or Dallas?
In Houston Bowl.
Who did?
LSU played Baylor.
LSU played Baylor, but nowhere near a game as big as... You know, what I'm saying is if he was looking to make an impact at a football game, and I don't know if it was because of the football game. Do we know, Dave, if this
guy
had...
Well, the Fiesta Bowl was a college football playoff.
But that was in where?
Tim, where's the Fiesta Bowl?
That's in Arizona.
They also
which is a lot farther away from...
Dallas.
Say it again?
The Fiesta Bowl is in Arizona, where the Cardinals play, and then the Cotton Bowl is next week in Dallas.
Yeah, but that's
so
a lot farther
week.
Than New Orleans.
Right,
is
yeah.
From
so his choices were the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
In addition to the Fiesta Bowl.
So New Orleans being, I guess, the closest.
And to Houston.
Do we know
yeah.
if he has a history of coming to New Orleans or not?
We don't. Police have not said, nor did his family really say, what his familiarity was with New Orleans. But, you know, there's a strong connection between Houston and New Orleans.
Right.
And it's not unusual for folks from both cities to spend time in the other.
And was it a four-hour drive, I think, maybe?
Yeah, about five, yeah.
Well, not the way you drive like I do. Not if you got a wedding cake in the back, though.
Right, yeah, I hear you.
And the other thing I was wondering is the Georgia State thing. You went to Georgia State. Georgia was in the game. Any connection there? Is that just like, you know, well, okay, it looks like this, so let's figure that's the case, and it's not
yeah.
got nothing
Again,
to do with
it. Again, it's always hard trying to get in the mind of a deranged terrorist
but
and
there's
try to
no,
figure out why
been no
they
official
make
word of any link or anything like that.
No, the FBI has not told us anything from those videos or from anything else they've gathered from the the three cell phones or two laptops that they have, as to why he chose to come to New Orleans and commit this crime when he did, to commit this act of terror when he did, and kill all these people when he did, or why.
So the question now is, what happens from here? The FBI continues their investigation. They're looking for, I guess, anybody that has any information. Did I see that there's video of somebody opening the ice chest with the pipe bomb and twerking?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is they originally thought, and they went from saying one immediately after the attack that they thought he had accomplices, to a day later saying, no, he worked absolutely alone. And one of the reasons is, and I don't know if the twerking was the issue so much, but they had surveillance, a video and still shots of people moving, touching, opening these ice chests that were left around the French Quarter with bombs inside of them. And from the initial surveillance, they thought those people may have been placing or activating or attempting to activate those bombs. Turns out they were just people who saw an ice chest sitting on the side of the street, or just saying, hey, what's in this, and opening it up.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I heard your phone. I know you got to go. Appreciate it. Dave Cohen, WWL News Director. We'll take a break and then come back and talk about this investigative story TV story that's breaking about Ann Kirkpatrick. Had a press conference yesterday. It didn't go very well. She admitted that the city owned portable vehicle barriers that they deployed yesterday, these yellow, I forgot what they call them, but she said that they owned them, but she didn't know about them. And that doesn't necessarily go just to Ann Kirkpatrick. I think that goes to the department and preparationness. And I'll get back to what I was saying earlier before, where we get caught up in national stories and agendas and trying to make political points here or there, when in actuality, it's the local officials that affect you most. And maybe if local officials had been on top of this, then none of this would have happened. We'll talk more when we come back. 620 traffic now, WWL. All right, 625 now. I see this story on Investigative TV, from Investigative TV. Brendan Keefe, Jamie Gray, and Emily Featherston. And I saw Ann Kirkpatrick's press conference yesterday. And I got these yellow things that they can roll out and put up that they had out yesterday and deployed. Let me just digress for a moment. One thing that amazed me is, with all of the armed presence that they had yesterday, automatic weapons, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, police departments from around the country, state police, National Guard, etc., they still couldn't keep people from being on the ramp at the Superdome selling drinks and beer out of an ice chest. That amazed me. But anyway, that when it comes to these little yellow things that they can put up to stop traffic, Ann Kirkpatrick candidly admitted that the city had them, but she didn't know about them. And that's not just on her. I think that's on, you don't know what you don't know, right? I think that's on the people that are beneath her command. And let me just read some of the things beneath her and her command. The Investigative TV, this story goes into where there used to be four bollards in place. There are only two. They talk about the beads that are getting stuck. Investigate TV, and I'm reading from the article here, combed through documents dating back to 2017, revealing that the city knew the French Quarter was deemed to be a potential terror threat. One assessment described the quarter as a risk and target area for terrorism that the FBI has identified as a concern that the city must address. The city installed first set of bollards on Bourbon Street just before the 2018 Sugar Bowl game. Sliding mechanisms worked as designed until they got jammed with Mardi Gras beads. We all know about that. Those broken bollards were replaced with wedged-style barricades. Those are those yellow things, I think. No, beg your pardon, that's something different. That could go up and down to allow delivery trucks and emergency vehicles through during the day to keep the others out at night. And Investigative TV noticed that no barricades were on sidewalks to stop cars or trucks. The city did appear to have placed the wedge barricades near pre-existing obstacles like light poles and fire hydrants that might widen the coverage. But these wedge-style barricades were intentionally left down on New Year's Eve to make sure emergency vehicles could get through as needed. And that's how the attacker was able to get his truck on Bourbon Street, by driving on the sidewalk around a police car. But then Investigative TV examined Google Street historic pictures of the intersection at Canal Street where the driver drove onto Bourbon. The photos do not show any bollards in place when examining pictures from mid-2017, though they are visible by 2018 after the Sugar Bowl timed installation. In 2022, pictures from Google Street View, the bollards are open and retracted wedge-style barriers can be seen. And the city also published the fact that the bollards were not working on its Public Works Department website. Plans for the ongoing project to replace the bollards are online, complete with a map of where they are currently missing. A timeline with the plan shows that the new barriers would not be fully in place until just before the Sugar Bowl. So a lot of the information, I guess, if you go back and try to piece this together, and I don't know what I don't know, and none of us know what we don't know, obviously, but I don't know what brought this guy to New Orleans, but when it comes to terrorism, it's only as strong as the weakest link, right? And these people look to exploit any weaknesses or any times that you might be asleep at the switch. And I go back to what I was saying yesterday and what I was saying earlier today that, you know, Steve Scalise yesterday, and I gave him the respect that his office as the majority leader in the House deserves. But he was talking about DEI and weakening of Homeland Security and John Kennedy. I took him to task, and that's well documented about summoning up respect for the department as much as he could for the Department of Homeland Security. And everybody is quick to go to their respective political corners and start blaming this one or that one or say when this happens, it's going to be different. And I was honest yesterday. I said initially when I heard Texas license plate, I went to illegal immigrant getting drunk and causing mayhem. That was completely and totally wrong. That was based on my own pre-existing thoughts, right? Seeing all the traffic here in Belchase. So I was wrong there and jumping to conclusions on that. And I go back to instead of getting all caught up in national politics and national elections, and we said this during the presidential election, a council person is the one you call when your garbage doesn't get picked up, not the White House. And along those lines, I think the same can be said here in that we get caught up in Department of Homeland Security and diversity and equity and this and that and the other thing when it's got nothing to do with this at all, when in fact, according to this investigative TV story, and look, I'm sure that the investigation is going to continue with the FBI and all the different agencies, but you got to ask, why were the wedge-style barricades not in place? Why were they intentionally left down to make sure emergency vehicles could get through? Why did the Department of Public Works post online information where the bollards were down, which would make it easy for anybody just to go on a website and find out where the city might be vulnerable? And why did Aaron Kirkpatrick, whom I like, not know about these yellow portable things were available? Why did somebody in the command chain of NOPD say, look, we got this happening, we got that happening, we got these, do you want to deploy these? I don't know what happened where, but I think everybody needs to take a breath. And before we start going to national politics and retreating to our respective corners, let's find out what the hell actually happened. More when we come back, 6:30, time for WWL First News. 6:43, 17 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. You heard Dave Cohen talk about some cold weather coming in next week as we get back to normal here. Highs today of 67, a 50% chance for showers tomorrow, highs of 63. Sunny looking rainy, highs of 70 with a high of 75. Then on Monday, it starts to cool down. 60% chance for showers, highs of 63. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we don't get out of the 40s for high temperatures, the lower 40s, mid 40s throughout then, and then by next Saturday up to 52. So not in terms for the holidays, but not in time for the holidays, rather, but some cold weather finally getting here. It seems as though everything's shifting a little later. Dr. Corey Hebert joins us now, who is an associate professor of pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine and our good friend. How you doing, Dr. Corey?
Good morning. How are you, Tom?
I'm all right. I know you and your significant other bleed purple, gold, and green. You are natives of this city. You love this city. Tell me your thoughts, Doc, when you heard about what happened and from then.
Well, you know, Tommy, I just want to say that, you know, we are a resilient group, right? But damn, do we have to be resilient all the time? Can we catch a break? And the bigger part that I want people to really recognize about this is that right now we have our immediate nervousness and just fear, right? And then we have this push of solidarity, and we're going to beat this, and we're, you know, united, New Orleans strong, and that's where we are right now. But when all the people leave, and we're all standing here, we are going to feel a little bit different. And the reason why is because if this had happened on a side street in Metairie, that's one thing. That's still horrible and terrible. Or if this had happened because a drunk driver had hit someone or hit a group of people, that's also horrible, terrible, and it also has happened. But this is the equivalent of someone breaking into your home and you going back into your home after the police have left and feeling like, what am I supposed to do now? And the reason why is because the French Quarter is our home. Everybody that's listening to this right now has done some type of celebration, has done some type of a family event, has done something in that hallowed space, no matter how raucous and having so much debauchery at some point, that's our home. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to start to feel like we can't go to our home. And that's something I really want people to recognize, because right now, you know, like I said, when you first got the news, you were startled and couldn't believe it and all that. And now this big push that we're going to be okay, but you're going to start probably having a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of a headache, a little bit of difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, you know, being a little bit more jumpy than usual, not trusting people as much. And the reason why is because this could have happened anywhere to anybody at any time when you want to have someone to inflict damage on you. And so it doesn't matter that it happened here, because it could have happened anywhere. And I want to say just one more little piece of that is that the reason why we have to recognize all of this in the bigger picture is because if people were inherently evil, I want people to really hear what I'm saying. If people were inherently evil, this would happen all day, everywhere, but it doesn't. So that's the solace I want you to have when you start having these feelings of, I'll never go to the French Quarter again. I'll never feel comfortable again, because people are inherently good. And this type of thing, when someone wants to inflict pain and to do these types of things, there's nothing you can do about it anywhere you go. So the key to it is to protect yourself and to make sure that you can decrease the amount of anxiety by preparation and doing things to make yourself feel better.
Doc, I can't tell you how that resonated with me, what you just said. And it is not about me, okay, but I'll tell a story about me. My kid got married over the weekend on Tuesday. A small wedding in North Louisiana. That's the way they wanted it, on a trail. And it was very nice the way it was done, very low key. But with all the preparation, driving up there with a 2-tier wedding cake, which made me nervous as all get out to make sure I got it there,
sure,
from Swiss safely.
Sure.
And then the hecticness of a wedding day and making sure everything happened. And then hearing the news and not rushing back, but getting back to New Orleans as quickly as I could so I could be on the air yesterday to talk about this and help with the coverage. It didn't really hit me that my kid got married and the significance of that, which is an important life event, because you are giving your kid up, right? Like, what's the old thing? A man shall leave his mother and a woman leave her home. And that's just starting to hit me now. And as you said, that after the holidays and after this weekend is over, I would think, and as we get back to, quote, normal, this is going to – we think that, okay, well, Bourbon Street's back open, Sugar Bowl happened, got the Super Bowl coming up, underground, everything else. But at some point, there's going to be a lull, even though Monday is King Cake Day. And at some point, there's going to be some stuff that we got to face. That's a good way to put it or not?
Absolutely. And the stuff that you're going to have to face is, you know, when you have a traumatic event and you have post-traumatic stress, and this is a little bit of bystander stress, because we're all in the media and our job is to give information and other people's job is to accept that information. But when you have information overload, these things are imprinted in your brain. So you're constantly hearing about what happened in the last few days. You're constantly thinking about all the stuff, all the subtle nuances, and you're starting to hear the people that have made, that, you know, succumbed during this thing. And it's going to become more personal to you, but not so much as the you know, all the coverage about the person who did this horrible event, but the people that it affected. And then it becomes a much more personal thing to you. And then as you, you know, keep that in the back of your mind, it's like if you went to a bar somewhere and you got into a really bad bar fight and your friend got killed, you know, then when you go back to that bar, you can't help but think, this happened here, and it causes anxiety. And you know, we are in an anxiety-ridden place now because of so much information overload. And what we have to remember, though, is that as you move forward, just like when we prepare for hurricanes and we had bad things happen with hurricanes, you have to do things to decrease your anxiety. The only way you can do that is to control what you can control and then not be so fearful. Meaning, when we have hurricanes, you got to protect your roof. You got to make sure you protect your windows. You got to make sure you have your medicine. You got to do all these things. So when you start going to places, not just the French Quarter, anywhere, you have to be aware. I mean, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and she walks around like, you know, looking around lackadaisical all the time. I'm like, look, and I hate that I have to do this to a 10-year-old, but you have to be aware of your surroundings. Don't be anxious about it because you can't really control the future, all right? You can only control the things that you can control so that when things that happen to you in the future happen, it will be less damaging. You can't worry about the past. There's no reason to worry about the present because the present, as soon as you say the word, is now the future. The only thing you need to be concerned about is the present and to prepare for the future, and that concept is called mindfulness. So everybody that's listening right now, I want you to Google or go to your phone and look up mindfulness. And mindfulness is the training of living in the present so that you don't have anxiety about the past.
Because Doc, let me take a break.
Things you can control.
Let me take a break because I'm going to have anxiety if we don't get the traffic. Let me go to traffic and then we come back.
God,
I did Google mindfulness. And, man, I appreciate you. I really do. And I heard Jason Williams say his son was on Bourbon Street, his college-age son, at 2 o'clock.
Sure.
You know, he was a victim of a carjacking, and he's had firsthand experience as well. So it's something we all have to deal with in New Orleans, and I would not live anywhere else. I really wouldn't. And I was thinking about that yesterday as I was driving to the game. You know what? The city's got a lot of problems.
Sure.
But, man, it's my home. And that's, it goes back to what you said about you feel as though your house has been broken into. It's different when it happens here. It's different when it happens in the French Quarter. Maybe we're behaving ourselves. We're there. Maybe we weren't. But it's part of us growing up, right? A rite of passage. 652, 8 till 7. More, we're going back with Dr. Corey Hebert. Traffic now, WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our good friend Dr. Corey Hebert, an associate professor of pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. Doc, I know you and your significant other, Desiree Charbonnet, for people that don't know, that bleed purple, gold, and green. You love this city. How did it affect you guys over the weekend? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, Tommy, I have to say, you know, we don't really go to the French Quarter a lot like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because of the fear of the crime, right? And, you know, when you're out there as a dude, you know what I mean? That's one thing.
Right.
But when you're out there as a couple, you know what I'm saying? And then people are, you know, walking up, you're always going to be walking up to you saying hello and that kind of thing. You kind of take your eye off of what's going on. And then Officer Kirkpatrick, or rather Superintendent Kirkpatrick, came in and really started doing a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we started going back and seeing, and we always have to remember that people come from all over the world to come see the French Quarter. We don't think about it like that, but we, you know, we have to because it is a jewel. No matter how much you think it smells like pee or whatever you think, you know what I'm saying? People
right.
just think that all the time. And so, but how it affected us is because it is akin to someone having the nerve to do that and then acting like, you know, let me say it much more clear. Someone having the nerve to do that, and then we have to go back to that place that's hallowed ground for us. And when you have to go back to that place, it's forever changed. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, a Instagram post really showed me something that really touched me because it was a video of like probably 30 minutes before this happened of people walking down Bourbon Street, and they said, watch this because it will never be the same.
Mm.
And that is the truth. And the reason why is because people say, well, oh, no, people will be back. French Quarter's open. Go to New York and go look for the World Trade Tips Center. And it ain't there. And even though New York's the same, when you walk down that block, it ain't the same. Mm-hmm. And you have certain places that are forever changed by events that took place. And I and the French Quarter, I don't think in the coming months will be drivable at all. I think they're going to make it into a pedestrian mall, and that they should, for people to feel comfortable. Because you got to think, you're sitting at home, you're in Boston, you're a doctor, you're over the AMA, and you, when are you going to come back with 50,000 doctors for that conference and walk down Bourbon Street and hang out? When are you going to do that with all the stuff that's happening? That's a loss of economy for the city. It's a loss of revenue. So I don't want to get into the political part of this, but the bigger part is we have been nervous to go down there now, and I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure that I can go back and that she can go back, because it is our home. And make sure that we realize that. I just want to throw a couple of things in here about what people are going to start to feel. You may start losing a little bit of sleep when you want to go back down there or have an event down there. You may be having a little bit of lack of concentration, the anxiety. I'll be remiss if I would not mention your children, okay? Because children aren't big French Quarter people much anyway. My right. daughter was, but some people's children aren't. But you have to remember that you really don't want your children watching this coverage all day, every day. And the reason why is because they feel this very differently. So they're not just going to be able to localize this to the French Quarter as much as adults can, even though adults won't just be able to localize the French Quarter by themselves. Just the French Quarter at all. But children really think of fear and anxiety about wherever they are. So they can't localize it at all. So try to make sure that the children are not just watching this, sitting next to you while you're watching it all the time, because it forever changes their little minds too, because their brains aren't fully developed. And we don't want them to have in the back of their minds, I don't want to go to the French Quarter, you know, as a very subtle feeling of when they are 15 or 16 or 20 or whatever.
Thank you, Doctor.
We have to
appreciate you. I really do. Have a happy new year.